Hello, howdy, hi, what's going on? Welcome back to Farewell. I'm your host, Clay Skipper. It is the top of the week, which means it's time for another coach up. Today, we are going to be coached up by one of Growth Equation's fearless leaders, Brad Stahlberg. So the world can be pretty wonderful. It can also be pretty terrible. And we need a mindset that works for both of these circumstances. Unfortunately, these days, we can live on the extremes. On the one hand, there's toxic positivity, which means remaining upbeat, even in the face of something that's really difficult or hard or sad and needs to be experienced and processed as such. On the other hand, there's straight up hopelessness or nihilism, a sense that everything is so bad, we might as well just give up. And we need something in between, more of a Goldilocks fit, something that accounts for the difficulty and still allows for hope. And that is where tragic optimism comes in. Brad writes extensively about this in his book, Master of Change. So I asked him to join me to talk it through. In your book, Master of Change, Brad, you have a concept called tragic optimism. Let's hear about it.
Tragic optimism is such an important concept for our modern times. It was coined, however, some 50 years ago by Viktor Frankl, the Holocaust survivor, psychoanalyst, well known for his work on finding meaning in suffering. Yet he had this little known essay called The Case for Tragic Optimism, where Frankl lays out that even the most average human existence is going to experience tragedy. We're made of skin and bone, so we'll have pain. We have these big brains that can make plans, and sometimes our plans don't work out, and that hurts. And then finally, impermanence. Everything that we love is eventually going to change and die, including ourselves. And that's a lot of tragedy for a human to hold. We're the only species that knows about mortality and that can look ahead and see that that's coming for all of us. As Frankl said, to hell with toxic positivity and being a Pollyanna, shit sucks. Like, there's real tragedy to being a human. And the work of a mature adult is maintaining a hopeful and optimistic attitude nonetheless. And you don't have to choose. You don't have to be a tragic or an optimist. You can be a tragic optimist. You can hold both of those ideas at the same time. And it's so important right now, because I think what happens is the world gets polarized into toxic positivity on the one hand and nihilism and despair on the other. And even though these two camps play off each other as opposites, they have one very big thing in common, which is both of those orientations are total cop-outs because they absolve you of doing anything. If we want to fix something broken in our lives, if we want to try to fix a broken world or even just improve a broken world, we cannot become broken people ourselves. And tragic optimism is a mindset that allows us to hold these two competing realities at the same time, not be overwhelmed by either, and show up and experience the full texture of life.
Yeah, the other thing to say on the toxic positivity bit is it is if you're expected to be happy all the time and you feel like garbage, that can be discouraging. And so here you could say, you know what, to your point, shit sucks. I'm not going to be happy all the time, but you keep moving anyway. How do you say this compares to or relates to something like radical acceptance? Is it the same thing? Is it different? A cousin? A sister?
So radical acceptance comes from Tara Brach, at least that's where I first heard it. And it essentially says, you just say yes to everything in life. You just accept everything. And I think that it's a cousin to radical acceptance, because I think that where tragic optimism maybe differs is like, yes, accept things, but that doesn't mean that you can't work to make them better. It just means you can't be delusional about working to make them better.
This reminds me of two sayings that I like that I think relate. One is I heard from Dax Shepard on his podcast, and he basically said, things may not be my fault, but they are my responsibility. And it's this idea that even though I'm right here and it kind of sucks and maybe is not entirely my doing, I now have to take care of it. And it's that same idea of even though things may not be rosy all the time, we can still take action. And the other one is from a book I recently sent you, Brad, called Bring Me the Rhinoceros. And the author of that book says, you get what you deserve, whether you deserve it or not. So same sort of idea of accepting where you're at, accepting that it may not be exactly where you want to be, but there's still reason to be optimistic and try to move forward.
You get what you deserve, whether you deserve it or not. That sounds like a cone. What does that mean to you? How do you interpret that?
Well, it's the same thing of like, I think what Dax was saying, like, you can sit here and be like, this sucks. There's a lot of shit happening in the world and I don't want to have to deal with it. Or you could just be like, this is what it is and be solutions oriented and move forward with it. I mean, this is something I think it's a little bit difficult in terms of emotional, mental circumstances, I think. But one thing that's helpful as a framework of thinking about this for me is physical performance and talking specifically to a lot of people who do endurance events, or not even endurance events, just events where you have to problem solve. That could be ultra runners. It could be decathletes where like something comes up and you can be like, this sucks and not deal with it. Or you can be like, this sucks. What tools do I have available to solve this problem? You know, it's like that great business advice too. That's like, never present someone a problem without a solution. Just being like, this is a problem is not very helpful, but being like, this is a problem. What am I going to do to move past it is a different animal.
That's right. And I think in the West, we struggle with the really accepting the problem because it's not optimism. It's tragic optimism. And a part of that is allowing yourself to soften up to what's broken about a situation or what's broken about the world or what's broken about a relationship or a terrible health diagnosis or an awful failure, and not just sugarcoat it and be like, oh, it'll be fine. I'll grow from it. I'll learn from it. I'm going to be an optimist. Like, you really can feel into the pain of that and still be an optimist. And I think that's what makes it sustainable, because if you sugarcoat or repress or you don't fully feel it, well, eventually that stuff creeps up and your toxic positivity becomes toxic for a reason. Whereas if you allow yourself to experience the full range of emotions that comes with tragedy and still maintain hope, that to me is like Jedi status. And that's something that we can all work towards.
And just to bring it back to concrete examples and the real world, I think politics is an area where a lot of people are feeling more tragic than optimistic. And especially on a national or a global scale, it can feel very helpless. And, you know, but I often think of that idea of act locally. And so if you are disappointed or discouraged with the state of the nation or the world, that doesn't keep you from going and volunteering locally and doing some good in your community. And it's like recognizing and sitting with, yeah, there's a lot of terrible, scary things happening. And I can also still take this step forward and try to create a little bit more good in the world, even if, of course, it's not going to offset all the grander bad that might be out there. It's like those tiny, tiny little steps that do help create some hope amidst a lot of despair.
Exactly. I think that's right. And it's the ability to see both and not just focus in on the despair, but to see it all. All right. Well, tragic optimism, folks. Hopefully it's another one of these tools and frameworks and orientations that can shift how you see the world and how you be in the world.
I only have two things to add to what was already said. One is that another way to think of this is just expect things to be hard. That's actually the name of the chapter where Brad talks about this in Master of Change. And I know we often put things into a running context on this show, so forgive me for doing it again. But that is something that I think about anytime I'm running a hard race, particularly a marathon. I just remind myself the morning of that it's going to be hard. And that's kind of the point. And life can be like that too, I think. And then two, Brad has a great quote towards the end of his book that sums this tragic optimism idea up nicely. It comes from Bruce Springsteen, who says, "The heart of wisdom is learning to accept the world on its terms without giving up the belief that you can change the world. That's a successful adulthood. The maturation of your thought process and very soul to the point where you understand the limits of life without giving up on its possibilities." So if you don't take it from Brad, or from me, take it from Bruce Springsteen, true American hero. If you like this episode, you should check out Brad's book, Master of Change. Also, check out the episode we did a while ago called How the Cult of Wellness is Failing Us with Kate Bowler. I think she has such a wonderful perspective on not denying hard realities, and still living hopefully in the face of them. Thank you for listening. We will be back later in the week on Thursday, as usual, with another episode, and we will talk to you then. Take care.